Shalom, good evening. For those of you that were not with us last week, my name is Malik. I'm a fictitious character, a Jewish merchant from the town of Joppa who has suddenly come from 2,800 years ago to visit you tonight. The events in our skit are some scriptural and some speculative. We speculate on things that the scripture does not explicitly say. For example, it doesn't say how Jonah got to Nineveh, which was about 600 more miles after he came out of the fish. It doesn't say who cared for him or who helped him. So the character of Malik is created to explain perhaps this is what happened. At any rate, tonight I'll continue with what I left off with last week. Last week, if you'll recall, I was saying goodbye to Jonah as he went down the quay to find a ship that would take him as far away from Nineveh as possible. He chose to go due east across the Great Sea, but God had told him to go west toward the Euphrates River and then up to the Tigris River and then on to Nineveh, the capital of the great Assyrian Empire, the greatest enemies of Israel. At any rate, I was coming home one day just about 6 days after I'd seen Jonah. And I really thought I'd never see him again. But my little girl came running up to me as I was coming towards the house. She said, "Abba, Abba, come, come. There's a creature that came out of the mouth of a big fish, and it looks like a man." So we ran to the seashore to have a look. And there was this thing, this mass of flesh, all curled up, covered with seaweed and slime, on dry land, and several fishermen were kneeling around it, wondering what it was, wondering what to do. While we were looking at this thing, and it appeared to be dead, suddenly it shivered, and I heard a cough, and it was alive. It was a man. Well, I said to the fisherman, "Pick up this poor creature, carry him over to my house, and perhaps God may have mercy upon him, and he might live." So we took him into our house and put him in our bed and waited for him to regain consciousness. When he regained consciousness, we fed him some hot broth, and then when he, what? No. And when he could talk, we said, "Who are you?" And he coughed. He said, "I'm Jonah, the prophet." Jonah, the same one that I'd seen just a few days earlier, this was Jonah? What happened to you, Jonah? And he told us the story. In brief, he said how he had gotten on the ship, and he was so afraid of God, he hid in the bottom of the ship. He went to sleep. A storm came. He convinced the sailors to throw him overboard. He was swallowed by a fish, and then days later vomited out. And there he was. Now, here's the strange thing. When we compared the exact day that the fish swallowed Jonah with the day and time when the sailors saw him vomited out of that fish, it was exactly 3 days and three nights. There was no way that a man could survive such an ordeal. It was an absolute miracle.
Enough. Stop teaching these fairy tales.
What? Who are you and what are you doing here?
I, sir, am Dr. Raymond Douglas, professor at the University Divinity School.
So I take it you don't particularly like me teaching about the account of Jonah.
Well, you can preach and teach all you want, but tell them the truth. Every educated person knows the story of Jonah never actually happened. It's a myth. It's a fairy tale. This is just a parable of God's love.
Uh-huh. So what actually is your problem with the Holy Scriptures?
Well, first, scientists tell us that it's impossible for a person to be swallowed by a whale. The whale's throat's just too small. Second, there is no way a person could survive for 3 days and nights in the stomach of a whale.
Well, you've made some good points there. You know, we have a copy of the scroll which Jonah wrote after it all happened, and the word that is used for the creature that swallowed him means great fish. And then here's the interesting thing, though. It says that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Do you believe that God could do anything that he wanted to do? Do you believe he could prepare a special creature to swallow Jonah?
Well, I suppose so.
Well, I suppose that it would be likely to be impossible from our perspective if a person was swallowed by a big fish and then managed to survive for 3 days and three nights. But as a matter of fact, there have been accounts of sailors being swallowed by whales in the past. Most of those accounts occurred when the sailors were hunting the great sperm whales and getting their blubber and turning it into whale oil. But apart from that, you really ought to be asking another question.
What's that?
You ought to be asking, how big is God? Or put it another way, you ought to be asking, how powerful is God? So let me ask you this. Do you believe that God can do anything that he wants to do?
Well, yes. I mean, no, this is impossible.
Yeah, well, it is impossible. But, well, if God wanted to, could he make a sea creature any way that he wanted to?
Again, I suppose so.
Well, suppose I told you that I had found an absolutely, totally reliable source that confirmed that Jonah really was swallowed by a big fish.
What? Who?
Well, you have your scroll of the scriptures there, the book of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Look up for me the account written by Matthew, son of Levi, in the 12th chapter, and would you read the 39th and 40th verse, please?
Yes, my marker just happens to be there. Thought you'd like that. You said 39 and 40?
Yeah, in chapter 12.
But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
All right, keep it open. Now, do you happen to know who said those words?
Jesus.
Our Messiah. Jesus, he said those words. He said those words because he was speaking about his death, burial, and resurrection. By the way, do you believe that Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected?
I know that's debatable, but yes, I believe I do.
All right, you believe that. All right, now, do you believe that Jesus ever told a lie?
No.
Well, now, according to that verse, Jesus is comparing Jonah's experience to his death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, he not only compares it, he says, well, what does he say? Does he say that Jonah really was swallowed by the great fish?
That's sure what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's right. You see, Jesus cannot lie, and he said that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so he will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So let's see what we've got here. We've got an impossible situation, but because God can do anything, here's what he did. God prepared a big fish, and he prepared a storm. And at just the right moment, they threw Jonah overboard. The storm calmed, but that didn't solve Jonah's problem. He could have drowned. But at just the right moment, God commanded that fish to come up and swallow him and then take him back to where he needed to go, back to land, and then at just the right time, vomit him back out on dry land. God did all of that. And then Jonah later wrote an account of it, which became the book of Jonah, about how he had his experience in the fish, how he preached to Nineveh, how they repented and God forgave and spared Nineveh. That account, the scroll of Jonah, was presented to the priest in Jerusalem. They accepted it as truth. They accepted it as the word of God. And to top that off, about the year 30 AD, an absolutely, totally reliable source, Jesus the Messiah, confirmed that it was really true. So given all of that, what do you think of Jonah now?
I may have to go back and reconsider what I've been taught.
You do that, Dr. Douglas. And while you're doing that, think about this. The experience of Jonah must happen because it parallels or prophesies the experience of Jesus. Just as Jonah was swallowed, kept in the belly of the fish, and then came out alive, so Jesus was crucified, buried, and came out alive. He was resurrected. You know, if you're going to say you believe in Jesus, you're going to have to believe in Jonah. I'll add something else. But if you say that you can't believe in Jonah, you're going to have to take that up with Jesus, because he never lies. And he believed that Jonah really did the things that he wrote about. So, appreciate you coming, and think about those things.
Thank you.
Well, now, where was I? I was telling you about how we took care of Jonah in our house. Like I said, his skin had been affected by the stomach juices of that fish, and he looked like he had just emerged from the grave. He looked horrible. His hair was gone, and he was very weak, but he was day by day he was regaining his strength. But almost as soon as he could start talking, the man was in hysteria. He started saying, "I've got to get to Nineveh. I've got to get to Nineveh. I must keep my vows." What vows? Well, it was the vows that he promised he would keep when he was inside of the fish, when he was praying to God. And the man just simply would not stop. I said, "Jonah, you need several more days to recover." Well, After about 2 days, he said, I'm going tomorrow, no matter what. When he said that, I decided God must be in this. I will help him. And we'll cover that next week. But I want to tell you about something to think about. From a human perspective, God went to a lot of trouble to get Jonah to Nineveh. From a human perspective, God controlled a storm. He controlled the lots that the sailors used that identified Jonah as the problem. God prepared a fish. God even told the fish to come and swallow Jonah at just a particular time, which could have saved Jonah's life from drowning or from sharks. God told the fish where to go and how long to keep him in. It had to be 3 days and three nights, no more, no less. God even instructed the fish to vomit him in such a way that he would land upon the soft ground and not on the hard beach or on the rocks. God was watching after him, and somehow, we don't know this part, God provided a way for Jonah to travel 500, 600 miles and eventually get to Nineveh. You think, wow, wouldn't it be great if God did things like that today? But listen, why did God go to all that trouble? Well, trouble from our standpoint. God wanted to save the lives of the people of Nineveh. How big of a price can you put on a soul? How big of a price can you put on your soul? Here's an assignment. Why not think of how God worked out circumstances before your salvation to bring you to Him? Think of the things that He put together, things that you look back and say, yep, He did this, He did this, He brought me to this person, He brought me here, He brought me there, and finally, then you came to Christ. Now think of this. You think, well, yep, maybe it did happen that way. Does God still do that today? Be alert to His leading. What if God wanted to engineer circumstances in your life now so that you, if you were obedient, would be used to lead a person to Christ or to give a word of witness or to give a word of testimony that would end up in the salvation of a precious soul? God still does that today. It would be so much better to learn to be obedient the first time instead of, well, in Noah and Jonah's case, getting swallowed by a fish and all the things he had to go through. So think about those things. Next week, we will look at how did Jonah get to Nineveh, and particularly, we're going to look at the response of the Ninevites. And we'll have a special guest from Nineveh next week.